So, this is the panel discussion about the impact of new territory GTRDs on CCTRDs. And I'd like to pass over to Vika from .za, who has very kindly offered to chair, together with Keith Davidson from .nz, who will be moderating this session. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. My name is Vika Mpisane from the ZA domain. I will offer to stand as well, in addition to chairing, while I do the introduction, because I'm not too tall. So I think this is better, get to see me a little bit clearer. We are beginning a panel discussion on the impact of GTLDs on CCTLDs and vice versa. I think as an intro, I'll give a background to what informs this particular topic, to what we seek to achieve out of this panel discussion. It's a panel discussion, therefore what it means is that we are not making decisions, but you are seeking to be better informed as the CCs and as the community. Excuse my throat. I think of particular importance here is we've all heard, we all saw, we witnessed it on Monday when the announcement went that the board has now said, let's go. Let's all start running when it comes to the new GTLDs. It's been a long coming work. First decision in Paris in 2008 when the board at the time decided that, okay, let's start investigating this. We are set now, we will do it. So let's start the preparation process. And from there to now, it's a little more than 3 years, if not 3 years as such. So we know that new GTLDs are going to be a reality. That is not doubted. That is not questionable at all. Now, we saw also in the past, if you were to go back and do a bit of a historical search or look, when we had your .info and the .bs when they came into play, that their coming into play had some impact on CCTLDs. Some may argue it was a positive impact. Others may say it was a negative impact. Overall, I could probably say it was still a good impact because they forced CCTLDs substantially to focus on competing better. Now, the question then is, what will be the impact of these new GTLDs that we will see as from next year, around this time or maybe later next year, entering the market? The effect of the matter is not all the new GTLDs really may affect the CCTLDs, and not all the new GTLDs may affect us directly. There will be company or brand-specific GTLDs. Maybe their impact may be really minimal when it comes to the CCTLDs and then to other GTLDs. But there are certain specific kind of GTLDs, the geographic ones, so the city GTLDs, and maybe you can say cultural CCTLDs. These will have to coexist with CCTLDs in their regions, in their countries. Now, the question then becomes one of the key questions. In fact, you could sum them up in pretty much two broad areas, and this is what the panel will be looking at today. The one aspect is on the marketing stroke end user aspect of these coexisting GTLDs. You have UK with this well-known core.uk and org.uk. If .liverpool enters the market, if .london enters the market, what does it mean to the end user? You know, the small business guy who doesn't really understand much about this. He only understands that he needs a website, you know, to be online. What potential impact will this have, and how should that be managed? We had a scenario also at some point, but it seems to have died down on .zulu, and I'm from South Africa, and the Zulu people are in South Africa. So there was a question in our mind at ZA, what will be the likely impact of .zulu on .za? You know, what will be the likely impact of .cape town on .za? What will be the potential confusion, if there will be confusion? Will it bring any benefit? How do you manage in Germany, .de, doing very well, the biggest CCTLD in terms of statistics? You have .berlin entering the market. And when .berlin comes into play, and then I have a name, as an example, music.de. And now I have .berlin, or I have .hamburg. And then suddenly there's music.berlin, music.hamburg. you know, the potential confusion in the light of the fact that those names may well be owned by different people. In fact, may be registered by different people. So there's this huge marketing aspect that we'll cover today. And then there's the governance aspect that is even more interesting. When we're preparing for this as the program working group, with the involvement of the chair and Keith and Byron at some point, whilst we're still forming this up and conceptualizing it nicely, then NORID happened. You know, and came up with a very interesting document that is going to aid us in understanding or in getting into an in-depth discussion of today. Because the NORID report brings the governance aspect, the regulatory aspect. You know, what are the potential regulatory issues when there's .London in addition to .UK? .London belongs to ICANN. It's a GTLD, but it's serving and is a name under the UK government. Shouldn't the UK government have a say? And should the UK government have a similar say over .London as in .UK? What's the correlationship and how should it be managed? So that's basically where this whole discussion comes from. We are not making decisions, but as a community that has always been known for sharing information, that has always been known for sharing best practices, we are looking at this matter from a best practice and knowledge sharing point of view. At the end of this, we will then see if there are any emerging issues that could be worth further exploration, whether in next meetings or maybe in between CCTLDs and GTLDs. It's of particular importance to emphasize this, that the purpose or the point of departure behind this discussion is that some of the GTLDs will coexist with CCTLDs. We do not approach this from an angle at all that may intimate that CCTLDs may be thinking of new geographic or cultural TLDs as being antagonistic as odd at all. No, that's not the purpose. CCTLDs have always been exposed to competition. The purpose is just to understand the potential impact and the relationship. How should these two coexist? We then gathered a panel, and we have our panelists here. On the table. I believe we'll get all of them to introduce themselves one by one. Probably all of them we know. If you don't know all of them, maybe just one or two. We know all of them, but they will introduce themselves. And I will get to sit down, because from here onwards, Keith Davidson, he will be responsible as the moderator. He'll be asking questions that these panelists must answer. In addition to that, he'll be giving you guys on the floor to ask questions. This will be very much open, so let us get the ball to roll. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you very much, Vika. And as opposed to Vika, I might remain seated because I'm not nearly as good looking as he is. What we're going to do is firstly have a presentation from the Government of Norway and .no. Just doing a bit further elaboration for those who were in the GAC CCNSO session this morning about what Norway's done to develop a model. And Ornof, thank you very much for taking time out from the GAC to be here. And I understand you probably can't be here for the entire hour and a half session. So after the presentation, I understand you may have to return to the GAC. So this is the scene setter and the sole presentation for today. So I think we'll get underway, and then after the presentation we'll open the floor to questions and introductions from the rest of the panel. I think Olivier from ALAC is not here yet, and he did say that he was committed till about 2:30, so he'll come and join us later, so I'll save the introductions to then. But can I hand over to Annabeth to introduce the topic? Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome back from lunch, those of you who are here. I just wanted to say first that it's not NORID's report. We have been a member of the working group, but it's a governmental report. When we made the government, the GAC representative and from NORID's side tried to tell the ministry in Norway that this will come and you have to be prepared, and that's more than 2 years ago. So then they set down a working group, and the responsibility was given to Arnold's agency So they took this into consideration and got a lot of the different people from the internet community to join. So that's it. So, Ernulf, I give the word to you. Ernulf Storm from the Norwegian Agency of Telecommunication. So he will present the report a little more thoroughly than we did this morning, and I will add with some aspects from the registry's point of view.
Thank you very much, Annabeth. And as Annabeth said, I'm from the Norwegian regulator, and also we represent Norway in the Governmental Advisory Committee. Presentation. But as Annabeth said, we had participants from internet community in that respect. We had a law professor, we had the CCTLD, we had representation from the Norwegian Property Office, and also from Businesses Consumer Protection Agency. And of course, as Annabeth said, that we wanted to be proactive and be prepared for what is coming, and therefore the ministry then established this working group. And the mandate is sort of broadly covered by the bullet points here. To firstly assess the desire and need for a new geographical TLD, which could have a national importance. As we, Norway, has been working in the GAC, we have been very much occupied by the geographical names, as we see this as a sovereignty issue, and it is quite important for us to have control over national geographical names. So that is very much the reason for why we have been very interested in this. And therefore, also, we regard this as a public resource in light with other resources that we manage. We were in the working group going to review assignment procedures for how to select if there were more applicants, etc. So that was also one of the tasks that we were going to do, and also then, if we're going to allow this, what requirements wanted we to put on a registry of this type, and also, are we as a government going to then develop standardized procedures for providing support or non-objection according to the guidebook. And as an overall, we were tasked to then propose a management model for handling this kind of applications. And then also we were tasked to then propose any changes in legislation in Norway covering these aspects. Main conclusions, I will just briefly go into this, and of course it can be read thoroughly, it's more covered in the report, but we had a long discussion on the desire and need, and one of the conclusions we came to was that it was not an sort of imminent need for this kind of top-level domain in Norway. We had a look at the Norwegian domain name market, and we saw that currently the Norwegian cctld.no currently is serving the Norwegian market very well. So they have no urgent need or requirement for this kind of TLD. And therefore the conclusions we made that this kind of TLD should then give an added value to the domain name market if we wanted to allow this to be included into the root. And a new kind of innovation, new ways of using domain names, or other ideas that could add more than just pure competition. And we also then ended up with several conditions which we would put on a registry if we wanted to allow this to happen in Norway, which I will come back to in more detail. And also that together with the conditions we want to do, the letter of support, etc., would then, and changes to legislation would then define a management model. And also we then recommended what kind of assignment procedure and selection method we would like to have in Norway. I mentioned a little bit of this. It is what we, as based on the conclusions or evaluation of the Norwegian market, that we made these kind of conclusions. The Norwegian businesses are heavily using .no in addition to also .com, but the main preferred domain name is .no for Norwegian users, businesses. And of course, as we also said, it will be difficult to protect to predict. And of course, if like other countries would then make use of their capital city names, that could of course influence the Norwegian market in the respect that it would be more desirable to also allow and implement, like for example, the capital of Norway, .Oslo. So that would also possibilities to affect and influence the Norwegian market. We also came to the conclusion that in addition to have legislation amended, because currently we have a regulation on domain names in Norway, just it's a framework regulation, so it's not detailed, but it's a framework regulation, and therefore we also have made some proposals for amending that to include geographical top-level domains to be covered by that regulation. But in addition to that, we recommended to have a separate private law agreement with a registry for a Norwegian top-level domain, and quite importantly, in that agreement, we must have, as we saw it, clauses in there that the agreement must be interpreted according to Norwegian law. So that would be under the Norwegian jurisdiction to sort out any conflicts. Regarding for protection of consumers, it will be very important to have clear procedures for example, if the registry is going to be phased out, if they go bankrupt and so on, for a certain period to stay up for the protection of consumers. Relevant issues identified is for financial strength and stability and things like that. And of course, since we wanted to pose conditions on a registry, it would also be utmost importance of being able to be able to exercise those in case of any disputes. And therefore, as it is now in the guidebook, a possibility in case of disputes with that government providing a letter of support ICANN will then comply with a court decision that has been made according to such a dispute. So that enables the governments to provide, to set conditions and be able to exercise those rights. So basically, to summarize, the management model, the framework, would be to have amending the regulation to include this kind of public resource, and also have this contract with a set of conditions for the registry, and basically that forms this sort of three-way relationship that we as a government has a contract with the registry, and also of course ICANN has a contract with the registry. But the requirements the Norwegian government has put on the registry will be enforced via private law contract, according to also what ICANN has will comply with in case of any disputes. One other thing we also then of course looked at was how to then make a selection if there are more than one, and what sort of barrier or bar should you place, basic requirements for, are we going to just give it to anyone that wanted to apply, or do we want to set any sort of main sort of requirements and sort of skills and so on for the entity that want this. And we then had different sort of first come, first serve basis, or how to then select. And we ended up with what we called a beauty contest. So basically to have an open announcement to the market and invite interested parties to then submit an application. And of course, in this announcement, it would be sort of a basic requirement that we wanted them to be able to cover, and then enter into negotiations for how we can then set the detailed requirements that we want to have to regulate in a contract. So basically that sort of summarizes some of the conclusions that we made in the report. And of course the next thing is if we're going to allow it or not, and so on. And that's so probably a national, it is a national decision, of course. And then based on the different circumstances and different markets you have in the different countries, and then, of course, you have different relationships between the existing CCTLDs and the governments in the different countries. And that, of course, could also influence and affect the decisions taken. So I think I'll give the floor to Annabeth and say a little bit more about this possible impact. Thank you.
What we know is that the government has been given through this applicant guidebook the possibility to give a support or a non-objection. And in my view, is if they decide in a country to give a non-objection, that's the same as more or less to say go ahead. But if you give a support, you should give some kind of criteria, as Onof has presented. So whether these are heavy restrictions on the one that wants a GeoTLD in a country or not, that will, in my view, decide whether it's too much impact on the existing CCTLD. It will differ from country to country and on what criteria the government decides to set. But the things that can happen is it's in consumer confusion. It can be difficult for someone in a country to understand that if you register under .no, then a certain set of rules apply, and you know them, you know everything about .no and your existing CC, and then it comes another geographical that seems to be national in a way, and you most users might expect that this is approximately the same rules. This goes for the registrars. They are used to, you can use all the registrars in a country. At least in Norway, we have an obligation in the framework to use all the Norwegian registrars. And in Norway, we have two ICANN-accredited registrars. So that can inflict the market if ICANN presses on to say that it's only ICANN-accredited registrars that are allowed to register GTLDs, even if it's a GEO. What about the dispute resolution? In Norway, we have a very good Norwegian dispute resolution that functions very well for .no disputes. And I think it will complicate things if someone, for example, had a domain name under .no and then another one took it under .oslo. It could easily be two companies that can be in parallel, but it can also be that the one under .no wanted to fight that .oslo domain. And if he then had to go to the UDRP, it's a Czech model, I think, that's proposed for the new GTLDs. Instead of go to the Norwegian ADR, where you can write in Norwegian, it's very quick, it's reasonable, and it will give your decision much easier. So, and whether it's a competition for the CC or not, that will... It depends on the rules, I think. But it can also be a kind of incitement? No. Yeah. What I wanted to say was that a new way to find that you have a competitor, so you have to do it even better, what you do today. You have to prove...
Incentive.
That's the word. To do things even better than you do and to try to get the customers to go to the safe, secure one that they know what to have and they don't know what they will get. So we'll see how it develops. Thank you.
Thank you very much to both of you for that presentation. And I think there's some really important points here. Firstly, that Norway has been through this process and decided these are appropriate rules for Norway. And I think it's the process by which they got there, by having a multi-stakeholder in-country group, which is rather strange for government in some parts of the world to do, but a true engagement in a multi-stakeholder model that comes up with then a principle-based framework. And then you've determined what your appropriate policies are. But I think the use of this particular model is if any country or any prospective registrant of a new, or sorry, registry for a new GTLD goes through the principal framework, it answers many of the likely issues that will arise through the process. So a government can simply go through and say yes or no to the principles and then shake it and out will fall that government's particular position on this. So it is very interesting and thank you very much. So
yes, yes. The link, you've given the link, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think without sort of looking at anything, any of the decisions that Norway have made specifically, are there any questions about the model or the structure?
No.
Any general questions? If not, oh, Vika.
Yes, just a quick one. As Olaf was presenting about a requirement for Norwegian GTLDs to comply with Norwegian law, which in itself tends to overlap with the requirement to comply with a different legal framework in that ICANN is a California-based entity. Have you had that in mind? Do you have any presuppositions at least of how that could be reconciled?
Well, yes, that's of course could pose a problem. like the requirements posed on the ICANN registry agreement, if that would then conflict with the Norwegian law. And that is something we have to look into the detail if this case happens, like with consumer protection or intellectual property or other laws. And then, of course, also, if we have to waiver any Norwegian laws or clauses in laws, then we have to see if there are any exempt clauses in those laws, or if it's actually if it's possible at all to exempt from certain regulations in Norway. But that we have to investigate in when the times come in detail. But that might happen, that there is a conflict of law, and if we are not possibility for making an exemption as a sort of government entity making a contract, then it would be not legal for us to enter into such a contract. So therefore, we have to look at that in detail. But that is, of course, a possible conflict area. And that's also what we have thought about, that, of course, according to ICANN, in articles of incorporation, they should respect local law. So maybe can we negotiate a change in the registry agreement based on that the registry applicant will not get electoral support unless they have amended slightly or in certain areas. So that also will be interesting to see if that also would be possible or not.
Thank you. Stephen
Dierhick.as, is there any additional material above and beyond the slide set available on this? And if so, where?
The presentation, if it's not already on the CCNSO agenda page as a link, it will be shortly. And there is a hard copy here, and there is a link on the GAC CCNSO slide pack from this morning to the same report, and it's in English.
And in our website,
yes,
as well.
Yes. Okay, any further questions or comments? Dennis.
Dennis Jennings, here wearing my .Irish hat rather than any other of my many hats and affiliations. But my question is to follow up. I like the framework. I think it's very well thought through, and I think it'll be very useful for certainly for other European countries. But the jurisdictional considerations, I'm interested in exploring. What if the TLD is outside the jurisdiction, and while it may be approved early in its life cycle, what happens being outside the jurisdiction if it then becomes a rogue TLD? Have you thought about the implications for that and how that might be addressed?
Well, it's and of course the jurisdiction thing is then of course with the separate agreement we will then make with the registry will then make sure that they have a presence, local presence in Norway, so that they are under the Norwegian jurisdiction and Norwegian law. And of course, if they move out of the country and then violate those contract terms, we will make then we can take that violation to court and have a court decision on that, and then we can have a redelegation according to the post-delegation disputes rules that are now in the applicant guidebook, so that we can enforce then if they violate the contract terms in any way. We can also at the at the most sort of extreme measure to make a redelegation, take it out of the route or move it to someone else.
Thank you. And I think we need a final question for this particular session because we need to head into panel discussion. But Sabine.
Yeah, actually, I have a follow-up for Denning's question and the question you just answered. I do know that Norway is not a member of the European Commission, but is affiliated up to some extent, and therefore within the European area, there is a free market requirement, which means that there is a sort of I'm not sure if it's really happening for Norway, but I think the question is: do you have thought about that, or is
Yeah, I know that. And what we experience in Norway is that when it's a kind of obligation, then it's EEA relevant. If it's something that we can gain, then it's not. So when we try to get into .eu, they said, no, you're not part of the union. So we keep .no and things for ourselves so far. But, of course, I understand that that might be a problem. But then at least you can say that it should be within the European area. So that's up to every country how they will do it. They can say within Africa, within Asia, whatever. So a lot of problems might arise later, I agree.
Okay, thank you. I think it's time that we said our thank yous to Norway for the very interesting presentation. And your model fascinates me, as you can tell, and I think you've shown some genuine thought leadership in this regard. And I think we will all get to appreciate this as we get down to levels of detail. And certainly Annabeth is freely available to the CCNSO members and really willing to talk about this. So because Ornoff is likely to leave us, can we record our appreciation to Norway now? Thank you very much. And moving along, can I now ask each of the panellists to introduce themselves, firstly by name, secondly by whether they're a prospective or an existing TLD, and then thirdly whether they're a CCTLD or a GTLD. Well, Annabeth, you're staying. Would you like to start?
Well, you know me.
For the record.
I'm Annabeth Lange, head of the legal section and policy in NORID, Norwegian Registry.
Dear Krzyżanowski, founder and managing director of Dot Berlin, the initiative for all Berliners. And what was the last part I need to say?
CCTLD.
Oh, okay. GOTLD means GTLD in the ICANN legal framework.
My name is Sabine Dollar. I'm CEO of Dot.de, an existing CCTLD for Germany.
My name is Dennis Jennings. I'm here as an advisor to the .Irish prospective TLD and a possible board member of, in fact, I've been invited to be a board member and have agreed to be a board member of the .Irish TLD company when that is set up. I'm also, having worn many hats, internet hats over the years, I was actually the original founder of .ie and the .ie was run from UCD Computing Services for many years while I was director. So that's me.
I am Fabien Bétrémieux. To answer your question, I'm both a CC and a G, and both a current and prospective TLD registry, because at AFNIC I do registry services development, and as such I'm also the project manager for the consortium that will provide registry services to the city of Paris, .Paris. So I'm here both on behalf of .fr and .Paris, although I will obviously not speak for the city of Paris, but in my capacity as a project manager on the registry side.
Hello, everyone. This is Edmund Chung from .Asia, GTLD. We are probably one of the first geo or territory GTLDs, and maybe one of the first to actually open this Pandora's box. So I hope we feel that we've had a positive experience in the Asia community, and happy to share the experience with this panel and then this discussion. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jonathan Shea from Hong Kong, representing the .HK CCTLD.
Thank you. And two places to my right, Olivier, just an introduction, and you're not affiliated to a CCTLD or GTLD.
That's right, Keith. I'm Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee. And I am actually a GTLD and a CCTLD user.
Excellent.
Very important.
Excellent. Did you bring your wallet with you?
I'm afraid I'm absolutely skint at this time, so I might need applicant support.
Excellent. Okay, we've divided the discussion really into two discrete areas today, and the regulatory and policy development area, and then more a marketing area secondly. But as a first question to the panel, and I don't think I'll require a compulsory answer from anyone, but I'll pose the question, and if you would like to respond, please do. So in the regulatory regime, in the case where there is national TLD legislation that potentially applies to the existing CCTLD, should the GTLD, the GOGTLD, be subjected to the same law? And that's the challenge.
That's a very good question. It depends on the legislation of the country. In Germany, we are lucky to have a really business-friendly legislation on top-level domain names. This regards to GTLDs as well as to CCTLDs, and the law says that these TLDs should be operated in the private sector. And from the regulatory perspective, I wouldn't add anything else, any specifications or whatever to this. This, at least for Germany, looks like a very good legislation and a very good framework. And we have Sabine can tell you for sure a very good experience with having CCTLDs at least, and hopefully also the GOTLDs in the future, like Dot Bavaria or Berlin or Hamburg, in the same manner managed like the CCTLDs.
Thank you. Just before we carry on, we were expecting David from .ie online. He is online. Welcome, David. Do you want to just introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, hello everybody. My name is David Curtin. I'm the Chief Executive of IE Domain Registry, so I'm responsible for all aspects of operating the .ie namespace.
And my apologies for omitting that along the way, David. And so please feel free to somehow indicate to us if you'd like to speak on any of these issues. Thank you. Sabine.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah, according to your question, should the GTLD, the GOTLD should be the same legislation as the GEO is applied? Actually, sitting on the side of Dirk, who actually feels to be the founder of Dot Berlin and speaking for all the 12 Dot Berlins in the world, I'm not sure which local legislation which applicable law that should be, because there are Berlins, obviously, as I learned from Dirk, in Brazil, in the US, and where else. So which of the 12, of them should be used? I think it's very important that it's known which law actually applies. I'm not sure that it should be the law. From what I think, if you look at Hanover, I think there's a huge Hanover in the US, and a huge turnover in Germany. So I think there is it's a very interesting question, but I think there is no unique answer for that.
Olivier Crépin-Leblanc for the record. I actually totally agree with this. In some countries, the CCTLD is subjected to very stringent rules, some of which mean that you need to have a company that is actually registered, that has a charter, et cetera, and I think you can't really say, well, should we be using the same rules for the local names and the country codes as well? It depends on where you are.
Well, and an indication that no one size fits all, I think. Annabeth.
Yeah, well, I've already said what we do in Norway, but it depends on which country you're in, of course. But one thing for the consumer's point of view is that you expect .com. Everybody knows that .com, that's some global thing. It's American, and you know what you're buying. Or if you register a name under .com. But you would suspect that national name, whether it be a county or a city, it would have more likeness with the CCTLD. So it's not either way. It could be somewhere in between that some of the national rules could apply for the GeoTLD and some couldn't. Some doesn't fit. And that's why the government in Norway tried to make two ways. Some of it can be used and some of it can't because of ICANN is a GTLD, and then you can supply it if you want with a contract.
I think also, am I right, and is my memory right, that under the ICANN rules that capital cities trump non-capital cities,
yes.
So there's a preemptive right to any capital city name and so on. So, you know, and I think that sorted much of the problem about duplicated names across territories. And I dare say most registry operators or prospective new GTLD operators will want to exploit the entire market that they can. So whether they may be based for one city and have some rules in that country and then some external rules, that can all apply. So jurisdiction is important. And I guess the add-on to this question is, if a geo GTLD is subject to a national top-level domain legislation, as the CCTLD is, how would you imagine that regulatory framework could be reconciled with ICANN's regulatory framework itself? Is there any way of reconciling state of California, US corporation against local law? And we sort of had part of the answer to that from Norway, but just does anyone want to be brave enough to tackle that as an issue? Excellent. Oh, Dennis.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm going to really answer that question, but I'll make an attempt. Dennis Jennings here for the record. I think that the Norwegian framework is a very interesting framework for those that GTLDs that are clearly identified with the national territory and are appropriate there. And a light regulatory touch, such as in Ireland, for the CCTLD, for .ie, would be appropriate for such GTLDs. But I also think that for the non-territorial GTLDs, I think that Ireland, just speaking for Ireland, will be... I'm not speaking for Ireland or the Irish government, but just surmising for Ireland that the general thrust would be to try and create an environment that is not only attractive for business. As you know, probably know, the Irish economy is very largely dependent on foreign direct investment and multinationals locating in Ireland to serve the European market. And I suspect that the Irish government will take the same view in relation to the domain name industry and try and create a very light regulatory framework that both encourages GTLDs to be based in Ireland and provides a framework that provides some level of assurance, regulatory assurance, that such GTLDs have an oversight framework that is in the interests of the consumers, that they're good GTLDs in some sense. I would certainly expect that for .irish. Now, .irish is not a geographic TLD. It's quite different. The intent is to serve the 70 to 100 million people around the globe that, if you ask them, think of them in some way as Irish, no matter what their race, or religion, or colour, or creed. They sort of have a, you know, they put on green on St. Patrick's Day, or they feel they're Irish. So .irish is trying to address that diaspora, whereas, and David can speak for .ie, .ie is the territorial type of CCTLD. But I would expect that the Irish government, which I know is very supportive of .irish in principle and in practice, will want a regulatory framework that, while not as tight as a country, territory, nevertheless provide some assurance that .irish can be trusted. And I think that's the difference that we're going to see in countries like Ireland.
Thank you. That's an interesting observation. Edmund and then Sabine.
Thank you, Keith. I don't know whether this is a response to directly your question, but hopefully our experience could contribute to the discussion. I guess generally, as a GTLD, Dot Asia is also a sort of a macro region TLD. We pay a lot of attention and are sensitive to the national laws within the region, and we observe that most of the laws, if there are, usually are very, very specific to the CCTLD and names the CCTLD in a way. However, there are certain laws that I think are relevant overall, especially where the jurisdiction within which the registry is operating. For example, privacy laws, and that plays a lot into the who is and how the registry operates. So that's certainly something that is important for. GTLDs, and territory TLDs. The other thing are reserve names. This is one of the things that we run into, and there are not necessarily laws, but at least within different jurisdictions, there are different views of reserve names. And I think as a territory, especially for us as a macro region, I should say, a sort of integrated or an integral way of viewing it is probably important. And I guess overall, some of the experience we had, for example, looking into law that where we operate from Hong Kong, and also some of our registrars, because our registrars are also bound by their jurisdictions in terms of the privacy laws there, and the cyber laws there. And one of the good examples are the last couple of years in terms of China and some of the changing requirements for operating registrar and their registry. May not be laws, but at least industry guidelines that happen in different jurisdictions. When you talk about territorial TLD, that is cross border, I guess.
Thank you, Edmund. That's quite a useful point. Sabine was next, and then I have Olivier and Annabeth.
Actually, I can make it very short because Edmund takes a lot of my points I want to take. Every entity, every organization actually is naturally subject to the local law where they actually are residing. So, and there is no exemption because they have a contract with ICANN whatsoever. So that's basically a fact. I think that is something we actually can constitute. So every GOTLD, wherever it is residing, is subject to their local law. And then the next question is, what if when local law is different from what actually the contracts with ICANN actually are supposed to be, or with regulations coming from ICANN? And there is, of course, there is, of course, interesting discussion material. I know from registrars in Germany who, with the SIN registry, working with the SIN registry model for NET and COM, where they actually are providing the WHOIS service, and where obviously what currently under the contract with ICANN they are supposed to publish under with the WHOIS conditions are not allowed according to German privacy laws or data protection laws, and where actually there is a conflict. And I know that there are discussions with ICANN, I don't think there is a real solution yet. So there is not a real. I know from registrars who simply just publish because ICANN tells them, unless nobody complains. And others where they got complaints, they stopped it and followed the model we actually have implemented for our WHOIS, because they think that's much more appropriate for the German market, because we may actually have had the discussion with the German data protection offices already. But there is I think there is there are a lot of open questions which have to be addressed in that space, but I don't think that there is a question, does local law apply? Of course it applies.
Okay. I have
as a GeoTLD applicant, we have already put €100,000 per year for lawsuits and legal cases, which we expect to come up with a GeoTLD. With a CCTLD, many potential complaints or so might not happen because they are so powerful and have all the money. But with the GeoTLDs, some parties might feel that they can give it a new try to sue them on some points. And some points which I'd like to highlight to be a little bit practical here, what comes up with a contract of ICANN is, for instance, as a GeoTLD registry, we have to publish our we have to give our zone file with all the data of the applicants to a clearing point at ICANN escrow service, and people might get access to this. This is not allowed in Germany and many other countries. They don't publish their complete zone file. This will for sure have some lawsuits in the future for this. Or we have the point of which comes new with the latest guidebook that two-letter codes have been excluded, or GeoTLD applicants or registries have to reserve these two-letter codes. And this is at a time when many CCTLDs and also GeoTLDs have recently released all one- and two-letter domain names. So there will be lawsuits for sure in this case in Germany. So these are only two points, and we see several other points coming up there, and it will be a legal challenge for all the new GeoTLDs to take this into account and have enough money to go through all the legal courts.
Thank you. Back to our original speaking order, Olivia and then Annabeth, and then I think we need to move on. Unless anyone else has any burning issues. Olivia.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Keith. I want just to build on what Dennis Jennings has said. He mentioned .irish can be trusted, and he wishes .irish to be trusted. I've just come out of a session on the competition, metrics for competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. And, of course, this whole issue of consumer trust was particularly important. That workshop worked on metrics to try and find out whether consumer trust is there. It is a complex set of parameters. Of course, for users, it means technical trust that the domain is going to be run properly. There's, of course, trust on the identity of registrants. And also the stability of the registry with which they're dealing with. And for registrants, it's important for them that the registrar that they work with is also one that they can trust. I think that when one looks at that, really, the important thing is to make sure that consumer trust for a GeoTLD is the same as the current country code TLD, if not exceeds that. It's a minimum requirement, really. You don't want to have GeoTLDs to be the poor child of country code TLDs, and it's something which we should, as a community, strive for. Thank you.
Thank you. And Annabeth.
Yeah, just shortly. We can have situations where the government want to set some criteria for a TLD according to their, not only the law, because then it's impossible, but if they want to make a contract that brings in some criteria that's in conflict with the registry contract between ICANN and the new GeoTLD, then we might have the situation that they come with a support letter with these criteria, under these conditions you can have the .oslo, for example, and then I can say, no, you can't have that because we can't accept this and that. So I expect that we can see a situation like that the government on one side, the only way they can give it want to introduce it in their own country is under certain conditions, and ICANN says no. So we'll see how that ends.
Fabian.
Yes, if I may contribute to the discussion with a picture of what's going on in France on this topic. The legal framework for TLD, for domain names, let's say, has been renewed recently, and it excludes explicitly, or it actually only includes ccTLDs that are named. So it doesn't cover gTLDs. But what happens in France is that GOTLDs, at least the only one that's public right now, .paris, is actually sought by an administrative authority, the city of Paris. So the city of Paris has a very strong incentive to, by itself, reconcile the legal framework of France, the laws of France, with its obligations within the regime of the new GTLDs at ICANN. So that may not require legislation, but in practice, by the policy choices of the city of Paris, there will be some kind of reconciliation done de facto. And then the courts may also play a role down the line in case of specific litigation. It might refer to the legal framework in place, even if it only covers ccTLDs, and apply it to cases that would emerge in GOTLDs. So I just wanted to say that, given what's happening in France, there may be a case for... actually, there may not be a requirement for a priori reconciliation through legislation of these two frameworks.
Thank you. Again, it shows the rich tapestry of difference, doesn't it? I think, you know, following Edmund's point regarding privacy laws and the location of the operation subject to the local privacy laws, there are also other potential constraints or freedoms of where you might establish yourself in other legal aspects like intellectual property law and so on, and also potentially security and stability and a jurisdiction considering that the GOTLD may be its asset and look to either nationalise the asset as critical infrastructure or some similar sort of legislation. So just, that's not really a question, but thinking about this, Edmund, have you had any other experiences of other forms of legislation impacting, you know, that are reasonably significant in that regard?
Thank you, Keith. Fortunately, the short answer is no, but I think a few things. I think in terms of .Asia as a, I guess as a macro region TLD, probably our pressure for being nationalized might be smaller. But if it's within a particular national boundary, then I think it's probably a possibility. However, you touch on a few other subjects, especially on intellectual property rights laws. Right now, a lot of jurisdictions, I think, are looking into copyright and trademark laws, and we continue to be, I wouldn't say solicited, but at least when those discussions arise in Hong Kong and in some of the other jurisdictions within Asia, we pay special attention to them as they develop, because they may eventually, you know, down the road be certain implications for us. When we talk about intellectual property rights and copyrights, there are right now most of the attention perhaps is directed towards ISPs or hosts, but I guess other CCTLDs might have gotten those information as well. There have been discussions about it bringing that same concept to domain names and takedowns of domain names, and I think there will continue to be some pressure on GTLDs, regardless of whether they're territorial, to abide by these type of laws if they're created, and also, you know, I guess as TLDs ourselves, whether we are CCs, GEs, whether territorial or not, these are legislations that will affect our operations, I think.
So I think maybe seeking to sum up a little bit, the issue of jurisdiction and GOTLDs will be a testing issue and issues well worth contemplating, and I'm not sure how much flexibility ICANN will be able to demonstrate in terms of any variance to the contract, but I think it is something that's better to be thought about in advance than after application. Edmund?
Just a quick note, I think, you know, for example, .tel actually did get a special exemption because of the UK privacy laws with their contract. So there are precedents in terms of, you know, local jurisdiction where the GTLD is operated out of.
Okay, thank you. So I think, the tension is to try and assess in advance before your application what, how local jurisdictional issues might impact on your application and potential contract variance. Can I just move through the panel and in terms of any final comments on the regulatory or legal regime, just one by one, if anyone wants to make any comment of anything else of pertinence, and then we'll move on to the marketing aspects. So...
Actually, maybe I have an interesting addition to the presentation from Norway, what the current status of regulation in Germany is according to those GOTLD or GTLD actually area. And as most of you may know, in Germany there is no domain regulation at all, and DINIC is independent from the government. But in the in the telecom, there is currently a telecommunication law change actually on the way with regard to who is responsible for answering questions from ICANN if there are occurring any questions towards GTLD with geographic names. And it's a very small add-on that that it's primarily in the hand of the federal states, and they're actually in the hand of the federal states or cities, and that if there are conflicts, the more important actually town has won and is responsible for to answer the question. But that's actually all what is done in towards regulation in Germany.
Thank you, Sabine. I had Dennis, then Orna.
I was just going to suggest, that, Keith, that you might ask David Curtin on the phone to comment on that. He's better placed than I am.
David, do you have any comments?
Yes, I do indeed. As a lot of people will know, there is legislation in Ireland that covers the .ie namespace. It doesn't cover .com, it doesn't cover .eu, so it's quite narrow. So how it impacts on the new GTLDs, I would suggest, has not yet been considered by the Irish government. I would agree with Dennis that the Irish government would like a benign environment for business in general, and they're always supportive of e-commerce initiatives. However, in our experience, I would caution that getting joined up thinking from government and regulators can be extremely difficult. You will find that getting decisions from the right officials, and in particular getting documentation from the ministry, official documentation from the ministry in support of anything, can be very, very, very difficult. And while, you know, junior officials might support an initiative, getting that in writing or getting a letter of support is quite another matter. So I think other countries might experience that as they go forward.
Thank you, David. Onif.
Yes, thank you, Keith. Well, just a comment on the sort of jurisdiction and possibilities for ICANN to adapt to different requirements. I think in the light of the high focus on the multi-stakeholder model as a contrary to an intergovernmental organization, I think ICANN would be should be mindful about the sort of the new emphasis on this and the emphasis on the focus on including governments and including that as a model that can be accepted around the world. So I think in the light of that, I think ICANN should very much think about this to make sort of adaptations to this kind of changes in the registry agreements, and I think that would then could be a good thing for the domain name market in the world if they actually will do so, and then that will enable more possibly GOTLDs in the different countries.
Okay, thank you for that. Can I have the last question? Oh, no, I think we do need to move on, and we might be getting to a level of detail. And I know there's people in the audience who want to ask questions, but I think we'd need to leave the subject of the legal and regulatory now and move on to competition and marketing. And so, panellists, can we keep our answers really as concise and tight as possible? And then we should be able to open up for some questions from the floor as well. Okay, looking at the competition and marketing aspects, you know, most of the geographic and cultural GTLDs announced to date purport to serve citizens of their cities or culture, and as such, they'll give alternatives to CCTLDs in which they already reside. Should a CCTLD act in cooperation with or in competition against such GOTLDs? You know, should, and I guess we know the answer, but should .de cooperate with .Berlin, .Hamburg and so on? Is it a registry function to compete, or is it entirely left? Should it be appropriately left to the registrars to make the competition market? So there's the challenge. Any takers? Sabine, and then Dennis.
Actually, that's I think, should a registry compete? I think competition is not something you can choose to do, because it's per definition that there is the consumer has a choice, or if the if there are different possibilities the consumer can choose, there is of course a competition. The question is, how do you act as a registry that there is competition? There's already, of course, there is also competition with .com, there is the competition with .net already, and with .eu of course too. So there is a lot of choice the customer has and the registrar has, and of course the registrar is free to choose whatever it does. The question is, how do you do that? And I think from a DINIC perspective, we have chosen to basically show the advantages of what our model is, of what our domain is, and convince the customers with our services. And that's of course that's the choice we have done. And should it compete or cooperate? I think that's not an either or. Of course, we have also common interests with regard to, let's say, DNS, stable DNS with a stable internet, and with a sort of a confident user expectation in Germany. I think if Dot Berlin messes up, I think that will also actually concern our customers that we might mess up also. So I think there is both, and you have to find a balance. And I think and that's basically what we're trying to do.
Dennis, and then Annabeth, then Fabian, then Edmund.
Well, a number, Dennis Jennings here for the record, and a number of responses to that. First of all, of course there should be competition. That's in the interest of the consumer. There should be active and vigorous competition. But in fact, in Europe and in Ireland, direct collusion and to trying to minimize competition is against the law. Anti-competitive practices are illegal. Having said all that, that doesn't mean that there should necessarily be that there should be unnecessary competition. And in the particular case of .irish and .ie, since .irish is addressing a global diaspora, and .ie, and I'll let David speak for .ie, of course, is essentially addressing entities that have a real and substantial connection to Ireland, there isn't any natural competition there. But there will be normal competition.
Some complementarianism, I think. Too. I've got quite a speaking list here. I've got Annabeth, then Fabian, then Edmund, then Ornoff, then Olivier, and then Jonathan.
As far as .fr and .paris are concerned, or more generally .fr and GOTLDs in France, we see that there is a natural natural competition, because those TLDs will address the same potential market. That's a fact. And new geographic GTLDs will offer some level of differentiation. So there's competition by definition. But we feel that these initiatives are also complementary, because as the .cat has shown, they will bring newcomers to domain names, and somebody that comes to the domain name system in France will, through, let's say, .bzdh, which is the LCTLD initiative from the western part of France for the Breton community, they will also consider going for .fr, because that will make sense. And so, basically, registrants, there will be new registrants. Current registrants of the .fr may consider some local regional GTLDs, because that might make sense for them. They will like the differentiation approach, and they will like to show their belonging to a specific community, or they will want to associate themselves with the visibility provided by this new TLD. So there's definitely complementary issues or benefits there. And anyway, the CCTLD for us will still remain a necessity for somebody that wants presence in France, for instance. So at least in the short term, that's not a threat on the CCTLD. And one more thing, in terms of illustration, when the .eu appeared, although it's not a GTLD, it's still a geographic TLD that covers, obviously, the same, at least the French territory, there were fears and announcement that .eu would kill .fr. And that did not happen. And the market share of .eu in France never went over 5 to 6%. So that's why we think there is competition, but it's complementary.
Well, I guess with slightly over 2 billion internet users in the world and under 200 million domain names registered, there's an awfully big untapped market. And, of course, I think, looking back historically over the last new GTLD process with the launch of .asia and .info and .biz and others, I think that actually stimulated the CCTLD market quite significantly. So whereas a lot of CCTLDs imagine mentioned that this would be a difficult time going ahead and having to market more and so on. I think it actually was very complimentary in terms of increasing awareness and opportunity for domain names. Back to topic, though. Annabeth.
I agree with most of these things that have been said, that it's not either or. It will be competition, and competition is good, but it should be under fairly equal conditions. And in some areas, it will be good to cooperate the same way we do, to share best practices and learn from each other. I'm more concerned about the registrar competition. A lot of the smaller countries, they haven't as a lot of ICANN-accredited registrars, and in some countries that can create a big problem. In Norway is among them, and I'm sure other countries also have a big registrar corps, but only very few that's accredited by ICANN.
Thank you, Annabeth. I'll close the panel speaking order with the list I've got, which is Edmund, Ornoff, then Olivia, then Jonathan. So, Edmund.
Thank you. And I think, Keith, you sort of spoke to my intro already. So I think overall, I think the numbers and the experience from .Asia, and I think .EU and some of the new TLDs that came along really proves, it stimulates the interest. And one of the things that, number one in terms of competition is really the competition against .com and the awareness. Because most people in the world today still really knows just .com and probably the ccTLD, and in the future the reality is that the awareness of more of the other possibilities are going to be one of the things that would be brought about. And this type of choice, and we always talk about choice of TLD and consumer choice, but I guess in our experience, this is really a choice about not one or the other, but one and the other. So I think one of the things that was said is this complementary concept and not really a cannibalization type of situation. So we're really building a bigger pie. And one of the things that I think we are definitely seeing in the marketplace is this moving away from this myth about one website, one domain sort of concept. I think this has been one of the things that people argue about, but in reality, more and more, especially the more savvy websites, definitely don't only use one domain. They're using a portfolio of domain names to drive traffic, search engine optimization, all sorts of things. And the way that the industry, the tech industry and the domain industry looks at this is going to change over time. And I think one of the sort of analogy that is I find really interesting and really, really good is if you look into, for example, the real estate industry, and as strip malls are being built in suburbs, it's not going to, McDonald's will be opened in, different areas, and different branches, and that's the power in the real world, the power of chain stores or power of having multiple presences is to drive traffic to their businesses, and I think that's going to be an important part going forward as well with different TLDs and multiple domains and a portfolio of domain names really in terms of a website or a particular operation on the internet utilizing this sort of network of domains.
Excellent points, Edmund. Thanks for that. Can we keep our responses really brief because we're into our last 5 minutes and I'd really like to open some questions from the floor. Ornoff, thank you.
Yes, thank you. I'll be very short. Yes, of course, many things, good things has been said, and it's quite important to facilitate competition, and also as Annabeth in the beginning also said that competition with GeoDTLD, with the CCTLD, can sort of drive the existing CCTLD also to sort of make things better and cheaper. So that in that respect, competition is good. But I think also one sort of factor that GeoDTLDs must compete with the existing CCTLDs is consumer satisfaction. I think that's really important for them to then be able to satisfy the market, to be able to have a possibility to compete. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I may reverse
Keith, may I make a comment, Keith?
Certainly, David.
David Curtin here. Sorry, just very briefly. That point that Annabeth raised in relation to the ICANN registrars and the trust issue, I think that's critically important and maybe in another forum probably deserves to be further discussed. Initially in the draft proposals, it was proposed to separate the roles of registrar and registree, and I thought that was a very positive idea. Now, I know that's gone, and I think that raises the issue then about fair competition, not at the registry level, but at the registrar level. So how can we ensure that registrars are trusted if they're across shareholdings or joint ventures between a registry and a registrar? And that's probably something that governments might be interested in when they start considering fair competition issues. Thank you.
Very good point. Thank you, David. Can I take the liberty of reversing the last two speakers' order and go to Jonathan first and then lastly Olivia, because I think you're hearing from the supply side, so it would be appropriate for a sum up from the consumer side. So thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Keith. I think it's worthwhile to point out, firstly, that we are talking about a number of different scenarios. In Hong Kong, with .hk and .asia promoting their product, is one scenario where you have location or economy-based CCTLD versus a regional TLD. While dot Berlin and dot D is another scenario, because it's a city versus a country scenario. And dot Irish and dot IE is another game, because it's talking about more a cultural or a group of ethical TLD versus CCTLD. So I think that's the first point that we have to really look at. And there are really slight differences among all these three scenarios, and the situation are not quite the same. Secondly, as Edmund said, we are really proud. Hong Kong is the first city where people do have more choices. In addition to .hk, they have .asia, and of course the incumbent GTLDs. In terms of competition, I echo all the other panelists what they have said. Even without the new GeoTLD, we are already competing more or less with .com, .net, .biz anyway. So to us, it really doesn't add a lot with the introduction of new GeoTLDs or some of the new GTLDs. We, as a non-profit organization, we run our CCTLD registry as a non-profit organization. We emphasize choices to the customers. We emphasize on growing the internet together, promoting the use of internet to the community, benefiting companies and individuals alike. So our mission is not to monopolize the market. It's rather to offer choices. We let the users decide which are the best for them. And I fully echo Edmund's point that even within .hk, we are promoting the concept of one website, many domain names. We just introduced our IDNTLD.HK in Chinese character, and again we point out to users that it's very useful to point your .hk and the .HK domain name to your website, and they may already have an existing .com or .asia domain name, and they can all point these domain names to the same website or the different versions of the website, for example, the Chinese version, the English version. So there are many creative ways to utilize the different top-level domains. However, on the more negative aspect of this...
Jonathan, is this the long response or the short response?
Just one last closing
very quickly,
comment.
Please.
New GTLD or GTLDs would cause confusion to the users, especially the commercial one, because they are always worried about being sort of blackmailed and they have to protect their brands and therefore register more domain names. And actually, we all need to educate the market and the users on how to handle the proliferation of top-level domains. Thank you.
And actually, yes, a very valuable final point. Thank you, Jonathan. Olivia.
Thank you very much, Keith. I actually remained back at the question on competition and consumer choice. Competition is good. Consumer's choice is good as well. One doesn't stop the other. You can have consumer choice under the same umbrella. But I personally prefer competition. I've lived through the telecom revolution in the 90s, the telecom deregulation, and the moment we had more choice as to whom was going to provide us with our telecom needs, there was the whole market became a lot larger, and the choice for consumer was a lot more than when it was just one or two national operators. So competition is very good. The only thing I would say, though, is that we do need to think further down the line, 5-10 years down the line. We have to hope that all of the new GTLDs that are going to be created will not fall under the 1, 2, or 3 overall umbrellas. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Now, panel, I think we've had an opportunity to have our say. Is there anyone in the audience who has a burning question, you know, like a really significant question that gets right to the core of these issues? All right. Is there anyone with a mediumly important roller? Any issues that are of extreme relevance to what we have discussed?
Well, let me say that I'll try to follow the example of the panel then. And it's something that came up when Annabeth made the remark that a conflict between national law and the criteria of the application guidebook might actually kill an application for a GTLD in the communication with ICANN on those criteria. And then I thought, it seems to me that there are at least two ways in which a government can actively and actually do that very effectively. And the first one is communicating in its letter of support that they insist that national data protection and privacy laws are applied to the WHOIS. And the second one, that national or European brand owner laws are applied in the sunrise of that particular TLD, so insisting that there is no difference in the treatment between a brand holder that uses the brand and a brand holder that doesn't use the brand. Those two things are in conflict with the applicant guidebook. So would that mean that this application would be killed immediately? I would like to know if this is a discussion that was held in the GEC or... For a GTLD, of course. Not for any TLD, but a GOTLD.
I think that's an ideal question that we'll record rather than answer. We are out of time, sadly, and I suggest you carry on the dialogue with Annabeth and Onif afterwards. I think the time police are knocking on my door, and so I'll hand back to Vika or Leslie.
Okay, thanks, Leslie. Thanks, Keith. And thanks to our panelists. Interesting discussion. I think I'll just do a summary of key points that are emerging here. But because we looked at only two areas, the regulatory framework and the marketing aspects of it, it's quite simple to summarize. I think from the regulatory point of view, what's emerging is that local laws will, in a number of cases, have impact on GOTLDs, that there is a need, therefore, for a reconciliation of different legislative frameworks, largely from the data protection point of view. Somebody raised also the issue of reserved names as an issue that may apply beyond just the ICANN registry agreement.
But the key proviso there is that this will not apply to all GUTLDs. ICANN has shown also through .tel, that's what Edmund raised, has shown through .tel that it's willing to accommodate some flexibility where there are some overlaps in between the national law where a registry or TLD is based and its own regulatory framework. The ICANN framework is likely to easily apply where a GUTLD name is a name that is used in more than a single state. So in that case, there wouldn't be need so much for reconciliation. On marketing, I think there was, because of the time that we allocated to it, which was quite limited, there's a clear point that is coming, is that competition is acceptable. It's not a new thing. It's been there. It will double up and be added. It's both competition and consumer choice that come into play, and we should accommodate that. The industry has grown from just a single domain name per business to a portfolio of domain names per each business, because businesses are using domain names for to drive SEO and to attract traffic. So those are the two emerging points there. Thanks.
Could you join me in thanking Vika, Keith, and all of the panelists? Thank you. Okay, that is the end of our CCNSO meeting. A couple of housekeeping points. Please could I encourage you to fill in the meeting survey. That will help us guide how we do future meetings and also any suggestions that you have for improvements so that we can implement, please. Thank you for your participation today. Those of you that are travelling safe and non-delayed travels, we look forward to seeing you in Senegal. We now have a half an hour coffee break, following which we'll go into the CCNSO Council meeting. Very happy for anyone who wishes to come and observe the council meeting. It's an open meeting, and that will follow after coffee in this room at 4 o'clock. Thank you.